17th. Also, we have a upcoming special guest visiting, Ilia Delio. She's such a gift to the world. Her writings are extraordinary, and we have things to learn from her. She has a lot to say. So if you are interested in hearing Ilia Delio and her teaching, she'll be with us for a Saturday seminar, morning seminar, online only, on October 23rd. You'll need to pre-register for that, and you can do that on the church website. She's going to be discussing what she calls the possibilities of Christogenesis, which really, she calls it human becoming. What are we coming to as individuals, as a species? What is possible for our human development through the difficulties and the crises that we go through? It's really very helpful teaching. Then we also have two retreats coming up, actually one retreat with the intro to Centenary Prayer attached to it, and that is on Saturday, October 9th. That's next Saturday. It's a 9 a.m. to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Zoom-only Centenary Prayer retreat. So if you're looking to meditate in community with others, this is a beautiful way of doing it. We've really perfected, and thanks to Jill Frank and her team, we've perfected doing retreats online, amazingly enough. So if you're interested in doing Centering Prayer together in that structured way, I really encourage you to check that out and register on the church website. And as a part of that, we're starting an Introduction to Centering Prayer course, which begins on that same Saturday morning and then continues on consecutively. You can read about that on the church website. But if you're interested in learning more about Centering Prayer, or you'd never even heard about Centering Prayer, that's a good place to hone in on your skills, your understanding of the method of Centering Prayer. That's all the announcements I have for us, but I do want to draw our attention to the bulletins. This has been made available now online for everyone, so you just have to click on the link in the Friday email, which gives me opportunity to talk about the Friday email. If you don't receive the Friday email, you can go to the website and sign up for that. It's a way of staying in touch with the church and hearing what's going on. But please do take these with you. These are designed as resources for you to ponder. And the images also connect in a very visio divina way with what we're aiming for each Sunday. And as a part of that, I want to also alert everyone to The Mark, which is our monthly newsletter. It's so beautifully prepared. This particular month in my minister article, I talk about some of the small and important changes we're unfolding in worship, such as just singing, beginning, Be Here Now, and what we're doing and why we're doing it. So you might want to check that out. And you notice how I have this little card here that kind of matches the front cover? Well, this is the October AIM card. And this is what you have to look forward to if you sign up to participate in our annual AIM in January. These cards are so delightful, and I've been looking forward to having the October card out all year. So it's entitled Deepening. I encourage you to use these cards for your own spiritual practice and your own sacred space. Again, awesome to be together. Thank you for your valuation on a Sunday morning, beautiful in Austin, to be together in person. It means so much to me, and it means so much to the body of Christ here at this particular church. Let's take a moment. We're all coming from different places, but we are one. And so let us just wish for the highest good to come to each of us through this service and to others as well. Let's wish for that now in this energetic possible moment. May it be so.
Please join us in invoking and remembering the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come. Please stand, for the gospel in one word is love.
Join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? And that you are not your own. Glorify God in your body. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love.
A very short scripture reading. You wouldn't want to talk much more about the body at church. It's a zinger. It's a powerful scripture, isn't it? You are a temple. Glorify God with your body. You don't belong to yourself. Wow, that's a lot in one little verse, two little verses. That you're a temple, a sacred space, that you contain and receive this influence called the Holy Spirit, that you can do something with that, you can glorify God because of that, and you do so by way and with and for and through and as a body. It's really extraordinary wisdom. Especially because so much of religion in general and Christianity in specific has been so anti-body and body shaming and body disdaining, you know, hiding the body and diminishing the body and elevating celibacy as the highest form of body life for priests and other religious people and monks and whatnot, and not really talking about the body much at all, except when you get into trouble because of the body. then we love to shame and make people wrong, and those sinners who are fornicating and this sort of thing with their bodies. And so it's this extraordinary curiosity about the body that Christianity has. It's a very uncomfortable thing to talk about for most of us. And the truth is, we don't often talk about it in polite society and certainly in church life. But we as a community can talk about the body, and we will be talking a lot about the body in the year to come in 2022. And, you know, the work of inner Christianity, which this church is, stands on, one of its legs is this idea, this system of teaching that we draw heavily upon called the work. It has a very powerful teaching that says we're not just one body, we have multiple centers in this body, or minds, multiple minds, operations, you might say, in our existence. And you can just point to them, you know, the intellectual center. And these names are just names. We could call them all sorts of things, but this is the intellect, the emotional, and then the instinctive moving center, which we just generally point to down here. But it involves the sexual center, and it involves all these centers that are involved and all the dynamics of this body that do what they do without us ever thinking about it, the nervous system. It's a profound intelligence that we have been given. And this is what we are to glorify God with. This is the temple of God. I thought one way of just kind of touching in literally, so this moves from the conceptual to the practical and literal, the physical, is if you don't mind, you know, you don't have to do this, but just as a little exercise, about 3 or 4 fingers down from your navel, you can just place your hand flat right on your belly. And what we're going to do is just something very simple, just to feel this thing that we're talking about. Just breathe in through your nostrils and notice how the hand moves. And then exhale through your mouth. And just feel that diaphragm, that deep part of your being, just move in and out on your hand. Just feel that movement like the sea waves on the shore. Just enjoy the sensation now. Take a few minutes to just breathe in and feel that movement. Notice how the attention wanders, and just see if you can now connect your attention to that movement and that breath coming in and out. Just follow the breath with your mind. We're living temples, and the temple gate is our nostrils and our mouth. And you can relax now and come back to the room if you so wish. But the entrance to the temple this temple is entered into by way of the breath, and you can begin to just feel that. It's a profound gift, and perhaps you even sensed your whole system starting to relax a little bit more. Or perhaps you thought, this place is weird, I'm out of here. But as far as I know, people pay like $30 an hour and a half for yoga to do that. So there's something about the breath and the Holy Spirit and the temple of this body that is fairly universal in all the religious traditions, that this body of ours is a container, at least a container, of this sacred breath, of this influence that is our life. It's such a mystery that we can't even begin to comprehend. You can remember some of the sacred places you've probably been in your lifetime, the cathedrals or the worship houses of worship, maybe even this place or a chapel somewhere. And you can just put your mind into that space and to feel into the beauty of that worship space. What was it that evoked in you that sense of awe or that you loved so much? What was it about that place of worship that you loved? Just take a moment to journey there in your mind, in your memory. Can you locate a sacred place of worship in your memory? And what did you love about it? Perhaps it was a forest where as a kid you played. It was a sense of awe and wonder that took you out of yourself. That is at the heart of worship is ecstasis, getting pulled out of oneself. One's ek is out from, and stasis is one's level of being or one's homeostasis, one's where you're at. You get pulled out of that place and elevated to another place. And play, as children, does that. Worship is grown-up play. And in many churches, they still play dress-up church. It's play. There's a degree of play involved, and the more play that is involved in this kind of worship, it's a very important thing not to take it too seriously. As Tim Cook used to remind everyone, page 10, you know, work with delight. There's a playfulness involved in worship. And when religion becomes so serious, you know, it can become very oppressive. So worship is meant to elevate and bring oneself out of the state that you walked into the room in, to bring oneself out of one's ordinary thoughts and problems and attention and lift oneself up even just for a moment into that place of being pulled out of yourself, not so that you're dissociated, but that so that you're integrated more. That you transcend and include that stuff in your life that is dragging you down and dragging me down. And worship is this gift of lifting us up. And interestingly enough, we end up worshiping by kneeling, oftentimes through the body. That embodied gestures are involved in this act of worship. And standing and kneeling and lifting one's hands. If you go to different traditions around the world, they do a much more effective job of teaching people how to incorporate the body in worship than does Western Christianity. Pretty much most of what happens in Western Christianity is this. That's about the extent of how much the body moves in Western Christianity. Unless you're getting ordained as a monk or as a priest, then you kneel and then you prostrate yourself. The whole body gets laid on the ground. I just love that. Foot washing is kind of a technique of moving the body and caring for the body, but goodness, we would never do that on Ash Wednesday, would we? We've now replaced foot washing with the Ash and Mark because it's just too embodied to see each other's feet. But I agree, kind of. You know, I really don't want to wash your feet, but... Well, actually, I don't want anyone to wash my feet. That's probably more of the truth of it. I'm embarrassed to show my feet. I'm embarrassed to show part of my body. Isn't that interesting? And yet, this was what Jesus told them to do. He commanded them to wash each other's feet. He said, do as I have done. And we've turned Ash Wednesday into something interesting, this, that Ash and Mark, which is wonderful. I'm not criticizing. I'm just noticing how in those places where Christianity could celebrate the body, we don't. Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation, you know, which is the essence of Christianity, that this extraordinary statement that God became flesh, this is profound. In fact, huge swaths of Christian culture and history didn't accept that. And they warred over it, and they battled over it. And philosophers tried to explain away, no, he wasn't really human. He just looked human. He had a human soul, but he didn't really have a full human body. And they didn't want to contaminate divinity. So they had all these ways of separating the human and the divine. But no, the scandal, as Paul said, of Christianity is Jesus, the fullness of his humanity, the fullness of divinity in one being. It's extraordinary, the message of Christianity, that this body, that God apparently wants to let humanity know how much human bodies mean to God, how much this body is important for the spiritual life and for the spiritual journey. Something to really think about, that in the beginning was the Word or the Logos, and the Logos became flesh, became sarx. And there's two words for the body in the New Testament Greek, and one is the word sarx, which is what was used there in John chapter 1. The Logos, the divine energy of the Logos, became sarx. Sarx is a Greek word that literally means like what would peel off of a barbecue bone. It's a very graphic image. It's the flesh, the mere flesh. Whereas the other Greek word that is used for something that's more than just the flesh, it's the Greek word soma, soma, S-O-M-A. Sarx and soma, and there's a lot of confusion because of these two different words. But basically you can say that sarx is used often in the Bible to talk about that thing in us that opposes God, that will that is to self, not to God or to others. But sarx is never used to refer to what we would call the body of Christ or the spiritualized body, like the resurrection body. There's a different word that's used, and that's soma. And so there's this interesting evidence here in the language that there's something more to this body, and the work has four bodies, like envelopes, within envelopes, or one of those Russian nesting dolls. That when you point to your body, we see the sarx. The visible eyes see the sarx, but actually there's also a soma and something more than that. Different traditions call it different things. They might call it the astral body or the divine body. But there's this understanding that the body is more than just this rooted physicality. There's a aura around our bodies that resonates and that can be felt. There's an energetic field that is created by bodies. So the wisdom of the traditions, many of the traditions, has been that the body physically is its root, and out from that flows higher possibilities, higher dimensions of body, called soma, or the resurrected body, or the ascended body, or the astral body, or the spiritualized body. There are all sorts of different ways of talking about it. I find that to be fascinating and very helpful to see that the spirit and the matter of this thing interrelate, and that they didn't really have the quantum understanding that we now have to see that matter is energy and energy can convert into matter. It's the same thing, just manifesting in different ways. So sacred places, sacred spaces are where we go oftentimes to feel or be reminded that we are connected to God. But this is what's extraordinary. This is what's so extraordinary, is that really you don't have to go to any sacred place. You are the sacred place. You are the temple of God. I'm the temple of God. In fact, there's no human being on this planet that isn't the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it really becomes a question of, okay, if I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, is it an issue of the quality or the quantity to which the Holy Spirit is filling me? Why are there some people who don't seem to manifest any of the qualities of God, love, joy, peace? How can they be temples of the Holy Spirit? How can I be a temple of the Holy Spirit when I'm acting a certain way or thinking a certain way or behaving a certain way? And so there's a real insight here that one can be clogged, the temple can be clogged. And the interesting thing about the temple image is that there was an outer court to the temple. There was a court that was open to the Gentiles. It was open to anyone who wanted to come. But there was also a nave or a holy of holies, and inside of that holy of holies was the most sacred presence of God. And that's where the divine and the human met, represented by the high priest in the Jewish system of the temple. And so if you just begin to think about that, that each of us has a temple complex, this temple complex, and spirit might be filling the outer centers or the outer parts of centers in work language. It might be filling the courtyard for the Gentiles, so to speak, the courtyard for the public, the hoi polloi, whoever it might be. Spirit might be there, but not getting to that inner node, the Holy of Holies in you. And spirit wants to dwell in every nook and cranny of us. Every part of us that's secret will be opened and revealed by that spirit, which the spirit wishes to permeate in. The Hermetic tradition calls that the subtle rules the dense, that the subtle is the higher energy qualities, that the superconsciousness of divine mind rules consciousness, and consciousness rules form or physicality, and mind rules physicality, and spirit rules mind. The subtle rules the dense. So on the outer parts of us, we can be touched by the spirit, we can be moved, we can have moments of conscience where we feel guilty or ashamed or aware that I need to care for someone or give love to someone or move. We have pity for someone. But then we can go about our own business in our self-focused, self-centered way, because not all of the temple is filled with that divine influence, that Holy Spirit. So you can begin to think of yourself as more complicated, more nuanced than just a temple, not just an open space, one open space. But this idea, the actual word for temple is the nave, or this little node in us. Haley was sharing yesterday in Scriptorium about a PBS special she saw where they documented the formation of a chicken and its heart, and how the form of the heart actually happened second after the node of electricity formed. The first thing formed was the electrical energy that then formed the heart, the physical matter around it. So that electrical impulse was first before the form. And the two then become one, and they form a living, beating heart that enables the creature. So that's the node in each of us. That's the Holy of Holies in each of us that is constantly connected. Thomas Keating called it the divine center, that little pinprick. That's that image of God that never goes away. It's that divine node. Apparently there's two nodes in our hearts. I won't try and pronounce them, but there's an upper one and there's a lower one. And these nodes are the electrical conduits that make our heartbeat normal. And when our electricity is not normal, when it's dysfunctional, we have all sorts of heart problems. So even for us in our own self, we can't explain where the mystery of the first electricity comes from, that node that sparks the life. And so on a physical level, we can understand that perhaps you can begin to think about on a spiritual level, what is it that is quickening your temple? Where is the Holy Spirit, the node in you? And how can it fill you more and more and more? And that was the whole emphasis of ascetical practices and meditation and working on cleaning out the negative emotions and the negative thoughts in the early monastic traditions and in all sorts of religious traditions. It wasn't to make us, so to speak, goody-two-shoes. It was to clear out the space inwardly so that more and more and more of the Holy Spirit could fill and overflow us. So it's important to just mention a little bit about what this Holy Spirit is. Because a lot of people think and would just conclude that the Holy Spirit is our breath. That the Hagia Pneuma, the Holy Spirit, is just you or just me. Or some might say it's just consciousness. It's just Christ consciousness. But there's a difference. There's a difference between our breath, our pneuma, the breath that is our air that's breathing us. It's a symbol, so to speak, of the Holy Spirit, and the energy of the Holy Spirit. And there's a difference. It's hard to conceptualize or understand the difference, but there are some analogies that can help us understand the difference. One of the most helpful words that the work of inner Christianity gave me to understand what the Holy Spirit is the idea of influence, that it's an influence that I can't understand. because it's operating or vibrating on a different level. And you might just think of the Holy Spirit as a field, as an energetic field or signature that we can tap into. However, in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is always related to Jesus. And this is the difference between just this generalized notion of spirituality, whatever that is, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the New Testament is always connected to Jesus. So in a certain sense, what the Holy Spirit is the diffused energetic pattern and field of the living, risen Master, Jesus, still among us, connecting all of us to this net, so to speak, that's electric, that's of a quality, of a nature that we can't comprehend, but that is felt as a warming presence of love and wisdom. It does things. It moves things. Now, the mind can't completely get this, but you can feel into this. You can know this in a deeper way in your body. Perhaps you've had encounters with the Holy Spirit. About 30-some years ago, I was a freshman at a college on the top of Wisconsin, right on Lake Superior. I wanted to go to school to become a forest ranger in outdoor education and go rescue people who had been stuck in the mountains and whatnot. It was one of the few programs that offered this as a bachelor's degree, and it happened to be in my home state. Well, you can imagine way up there, almost to Canada, that the culture of religion was interesting. It was a little different than down in the big cities. And I was drawn into this church that, by a very, very charismatic pastor. And it happened to be, I can't even give the whole name, but it was something like the Full Pentecostal Power of God Church in Christ, Holy Spirit, bless you. something like that. And the pastor was extraordinary, clearly overflowing with the Holy Spirit. But it was a Sunday, and the first Sunday in October, I remember it vividly. And I rode my little motorcycle there, and I was young and impressionable, but I wanted God. I loved God, and I loved nature, and I wanted more of this quality, this influence called the Holy Spirit. And they didn't have altar calls. What they had was come down and get slain in the Spirit. Perhaps that's something you've heard of before. And I was watching these people. You know, they would come down, and this charismatic minister would do all sorts of dancing and movement through his body. And then he'd lay hands on them. He's speaking in tongues, and they would fall back. So I said, I want that. I want to speak in tongues. I want more of God. I want more of the Holy Spirit. Fill me up, you know, fill my tank up. And I went down there. And I was very nervous, you know, nervous. It was a moment of interesting intrigue. I'd never done such a thing. And he put his hand on my forehead like this. And there was a couple men behind people because they would literally fall back. And in the moment when he had his hand on me, I could feel him kind of pushing me backward. I'm like, does he want me to fall back? Is he pushing people back, or is the Holy Spirit pushing people back? And I started to judge. I started to get up into my mind. And he looked at me and he said, let go. Let go. And I just kind of let him push me. I didn't get slain. I just let him push me. And I fell back into these guys, and they were praying over me. And nothing really happened, but all of a sudden, I was starting praying in tongues. I was just speaking in a different language. I was like, what? I don't know what to make of that, what to make of praying in tongues. But it was a moment for me of contact with an influence from a higher dimension, from a higher energetic place. And I was never the same after that. It was a part of my puzzle that was missing. And that high octane, full of the Spirit life and church was good for me for a few months. That's all I needed. And it's hard to maintain that level of intensity, but you know, the contemplative dimension offers something very similar. Because what I was listening to Thomas Keating for the first time on one of these videos that he was doing for all of us, and like that charismatic Pentecostal preacher, Thomas Keating said something very similar. He just used different words. The Pentecostal preacher said, let go. Thomas Keating said, consent. Consent to the presence and action of the Holy Spirit. High octane Holy Spirit contact, subtle, quiet, still Holy Spirit contact. Consent to the presence and action of the Holy Spirit. Return ever so gently to your sacred word. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What's blocking the Spirit from having all of you, from filling the whole temple with the glory of God, like we talked about last week? The Greek word for purgation, which has been so used by Christianity that we need to purge ourselves of, so that we can have clearer, cleaner contact with God, literally is the word catharsis, where we get the word catheter, where we get gunked out in our arteries. And it's, so it's like the Holy Spirit wants to catheterize us out to fill us completely with that energy. And then the manifestation of the fullness of the Holy Spirit as temples of the Holy Spirit is manifested as what Jesus taught and what others have taught as the fruit of the Holy Spirit, indicators of this energetic field called the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are manifestations of the invisible energy that we call the Holy Spirit. And remember last week I said that word that is used three times to describe God, holy, 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 only adjective used three times in all of Scripture to describe God, meant density or heaviness of being. So the Holy Spirit, what the Japanese call the hara, is filling us deeply with the heaviness and an anchoring through life that grounds us no matter what's going on. So that filling of the Spirit is a dense presence, a heaviness of not being swayed by what's happening in your life day to day. Just held by this root chakra, this deep hara, this deep inner holy of holies, which is very close to the sex center, the holiest of holies. And Gurdjieff talked about this. He named it an energy. He names these different levels of energy or different signatures of energy. There's 120 volt coming out of that wall right there. But if you go to the transformer outside on the road, it's probably 1,000 volts, right? Something happens from there to here that makes the electricity useful. And if you go to the power plant, it's 1,000,000 megawatts or whatever it is. Something's happening from the power station to the transformer on the road to the wall in the room to your charger and your phone. Scale down energy. In Gurdjieff's system, the lower the number, sex center energy was, he gave it the number 6. The lower the number, the higher, the more profound, the more fine the energy. And you all know this to be true. You all know this to be true. And that energy can be so abused and misused. And it's part of the dysfunction of our culture and our species. The finest, holiest of holy energy is meant to birth love and life. And the Holy of Holies has been desecrated. So desecrated. By lust and violence and anger. Well, that Holy of Holies, the sacred chamber down here, this energy is filling us with something else, the Holy Spirit. It's not yours, not your energy. Just as much as that electricity isn't my electricity. But when I plug in, that electricity does something to me and fuels my life. That's an analogy of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is flowing from God through Jesus, the Living One, who says, I will send you my Spirit, my Comforter, my Advocate, from me. And he breathed on them as a symbol of that. So the Holy Spirit is meant to connect us more with the living Christ. And the living Christ is meant to connect us more with the holy God, creator of the universe. Scaled down energy. We can't come in contact with the holy creator of the universe. It's like going to the power plant and touching it. We can come into contact with the Logos, the living master incarnated. That's the transformer. But day to day, you're not going to see Jesus. Day to day, you can feel the Holy Spirit plugging in to the Holy Spirit, which is the wall socket. Simple analogy, but I think to great effect, it helps us. Look, there's a million ideas out there and a million books about all this stuff. You can go down the rabbit holes of tantric stuff. You can go down the rabbit holes of energy work. You can go down the rabbit holes of all sorts of esoteric dimensions about the spirit and energy and different astral bodies. There's probably billions of books about all this stuff from every different lineage and every different tradition. But the invitation is for us to not be our own, to be with our bodies as for, through, with our bodies to glorify God. It's a very simple invitation. How are you using your body? What is it that your body is doing all on its own? Isn't that a sense of worship? It's just doing all this and supporting it. It's amazing. It's inspirational, really. And to know that we are in God, yes, we're in God, but God is also in us by way of the Holy Spirit. We're designed to be receivers of the Holy Spirit and transmitters of the Holy Spirit. Just want to close with the difference between the two images of being in God and God being in us. It's very well known, this notion of a drop of water into the ocean. But this is Sri Ramakrishna, the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, a beautiful Indian saint. I'm just going to close with this. His teaching is so gorgeous. It really is high theology, and I encourage you to read the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna at some point. But he tells this story which illustrates the point very, very well. Once, someone made a doll completely out of salt to measure the depth of the ocean, to drop it from the boat. They wanted to see how deep the water was. But this salt doll, this doll made completely out of salt, would never work. For no sooner did the salt doll get into the water than it completely dissolved into the water. Now, who or what was there to report the ocean's depth? Nothing. This is how we are in God. But also, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, a container that energy can be in you and fill you. You don't dissolve in that scenario. You soar. You become filled with the Holy Spirit. I become filled with the Holy Spirit to do what I'm here for as a physical body. And that looks like, for me, looks different from you. It means fulfilling my purpose and my mission and using my gifts, not under self-control, but under this surrender, this consenting, this letting go to this quality of presence that we call Holy Spirit. Renee yesterday helped us in scriptorium by saying in a very, very beautiful way, you know, beyond all these thoughts and all these words, just go down and bring attention to that breath in the stillness, in the silence, and it's about that presence. And that is just another word for the Holy Spirit, that presence. And it's quite exquisite to feel and to know and to name the Beloved. Let's take a moment in the silence. You've heard what I've had to say. What is this Holy Spirit doing in you? Transform us into love and become in us the fullness of your intentions for our species, that it would begin with each of us and continue through our community to bless the world. In Christ we pray, as the temple of the body of Christ. Amen.
In my soul, there is a temple. There is a shrine. In my soul, there is a mosque. There is a church.
Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is the contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our temple and in our lives.
Thank you.
Most gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, we thank you for the gift of life that is flowing into each of our hearts at this hour and this moment. We ask that you would fill each of us with your Spirit. From this place of energetic love, we send out to our beloveds comfort and healing for Jim McCune's family as they grieve the death of his father, Bob. We pray for Tom Parker's friend Katie for healing, for Pascal for peace and comfort, for Tim and Barbara Cook, for Jim Baker and Deborah Hardening, for Alice and Herman Vigil. For these named and those that remain quiet in our hearts, we now lift them up to you. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words and you who are giving us the faith to pray with that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. And please uncap your cups at this time. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ for us all. Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song. I can see your love.
was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace.
We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings, whether we give electronically, online, or by mail, or in the basket in the back. Let's celebrate this truth together and declare it over our lives. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. The love of God, the grace and energy of Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit is flowing to each of us, filling us right now. Amen.